Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, we're glad you're still doing that. Joe Knight is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Joe's back. Joe is a friend of ours, a member of our Brain Trust. Joe is the co-owner and senior consultant of Business Literacy Institute. He also owns a company called Setpoint, which is a manufacturing company. He's an author of a couple of books, including one I'm looking at right now, Financial Intelligence for Entrepreneurs. That's you and me, ladies and gentlemen. And he's our friend, Joe Knight. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jim.
It's good to have you back. So you're a business owner. I mean, some of my guests are trainers, they're speakers, they're authors, and they're experts. They have a lot to offer us, but their business is what's in their head. And I know that that's part of your world, but part of your world is also things that you can count and load on a truck. You got a manufacturing company, so I'd like for you to give my audience a little bit of an idea about how that particular, that's classic rubber meets the road American industry. How is that doing right now?
We're doing just fine. In fact, Jim, yesterday I signed on a new credit line that was many times more challenging to get put together this year than it has been in past years.
I bet.
We got a credit line at the level we've always had, and
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. The terms were a little bit worse, a little bit more fees, a little bit higher rate, but that's exactly the environment we're in. And
what did you have to do? What were you faced with? What were the challenges of that? You don't have to be too specific. But I would like for my audience to hear about some of the things you were up against and how you solved that.
Well, I think people need to understand. This was true before this new environment, but it's very true now. We all need to educate our bankers. We need to help our bankers understand our business.
Right.
And frankly,
yeah.
I think we assume too much about bankers and understanding finance.
One thing about bankers, and I love them, and they know I love them, but bankers are basically lazy. And you can't count on them to have the industry to learn all about your business.
Right. And so, exactly right. So in this environment, when you're working with a bank and trying to get a credit line, you should be the one taking them to lunch and buying them lunch. Because you need a good banker as a friend, and they are scared now. They're very careful.
Yep.
And frankly, they were careful before, but now it's gone up a notch. And so,
yep.
And you're going to pay more for financing. It's still out there, but it's tougher to get deals. And so you need to have a relationship, and you need to let your banker know what your key ratios and numbers are on your statements, what drives success, and whether you're doing well or doing poorly. You need to keep them up to date on what's happening with your business. It's all the best defense with a banker is a good offense. So if your numbers aren't looking good and you think you're gonna have a tough quarter, call your banker and let them know and explain why, and tell them why it's just temporary and you're gonna get out of it in the next quarter.
What I've told people for a long, long time now is an uninformed banker is a scared banker, and nobody ever got any help out of a scared banker.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I just went through that yesterday and got that all finished up for another year.
Did you have to put multiple institutions together to get that done, or were you able to do it through one company?
We're able to do it through one.
Yeah. Was there government assistance involved?
No, there was not.
Good. Good deal. Good deal.
We looked at that. You know, government assistance is a route, and we all know the SBAs are very much available right now, but
yep.
those deals take longer. There's more red tape, and there's more fees up front, although the rates are pretty favorable. So that's the thing people should be aware of when you look at those kinds of deals.
And a lot of times if you're working with a bank that is used to doing SBA loans, and not all of them are, but many of them are, but if you've got a bank that can do that, it greases the skids a lot, doesn't it?
It does. Now, I'll tell you one thing else. Another thing, that this is my opinion about a bank when you're a small business like we are. I prefer the community bank to the big national bank.
Thank you.
The big national banks want to put you in a cookie cutter kind of loan.
Yep.
They they put set ratios on you, and they really aren't very flexible. If you get with a community bank that is interested in your neighborhood or your city or your community, you're more likely to get a deal that's flexible, and they're more likely to understand your business and not force it into a box that might not work for your business. So my experience in working with a lot of banks over the years is a community bank is the way to go.
Independent community banks. Joe, my audience is chuckling a little bit right now because what you just said, they know I've been telling them for almost 12 years. Well, you are right on the money. I appreciate you saying that. I've been saying for a long, long time that if you're a small business owner, you don't have at least one banking relationship with an independent community bank, you're not as successful as you could be. Hold on to that thought, Joe.
Yep.
Joe Knight is our guest, folks. He and I will be right back. It's 20 till. Here's Mr. Richard Pennyman. That's little Richard. Take us out. A little Carlos Santana bringing us back. One of the great sounds of rock and roll. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. We built it for you. We built it so there's no barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff, and hope you have our goal is to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Check out my blog, which we update on a regular basis. Check out my knowledge base, askjim.biz. Check out my newsletter, which you can see a sample of there off the homepage, and subscribe to that. I hope you'll do that. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon by email. I'll get you ready for the week ahead. Whatever you got on your mind, whatever challenge or opportunity you got under the small business sun, you got 5 seconds, you got 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes, we got something you can read or listen to, so use it to your advantage. Joe Knight is with us, folks. Joe's a member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Financial Intelligence. He's a manufacturer. He's a speaker, a trainer, a consultant for people like you and me. He's a guy, I don't know why the guy. Joe, you must be like a machine or something. Do you sleep? I mean, how do you get all this stuff done?
Oh, I'm about half time at each of my businesses. I don't work a whole lot more than anybody else.
You probably got good people in both places, though, don't you?
Absolutely.
You got to have that, don't you?
Yes, I do. My co-author, Karen Berman, at Business Literacy Institute, that did the Financial Intelligence series, has been a great partner.
Right. And she's your co-author of the book?
That's right. And at SetPoint, we have great people. We've got a great CEO, and the business runs well. And I spend about half my time there helping them
right.
out. Works pretty
right.
well.
Joe, let's talk a little bit about some of this financial management that you do so well. You and I both have told people, as long as we've been doing what we do, the cash is king. But in 2009, cash is the emperor, isn't it?
Yeah, cash has moved up. Cash is king and queen and emperor and everything else. And, you know, Jim, I learned small business by getting SetPoint started. And the way I got into a lot of the things I did was working in a small business. And just a very brief history of SetPoint. The reason why the company started was because two engineers decided they were frustrated working for others. So they started a business, and one of their biggest frustrations were they did not know financially what was going on in the businesses they worked in. And so they decided they wanted to share the numbers with their employees. And so they started a company that was open book, and they were confused with the CPA's advice, and they got confused when they got a copy of QuickBooks, and that's when they asked me, a finance consultant at the time, Joe, could you help us out, help us set this up? And, you know, it started out, they said, what we want to do is teach our employees about the importance of a number we call aggregate remainder. And I said, what is that? Now, remember, these are engineers. They said, well, when we make a sale, we got to buy a bunch of stuff. And if you subtract the stuff from our sale, we have aggregate remainder. And I said, well, we call that gross profit. and these guys, these two engineers said, that is so great. You guys have a name for that. And I said,
what a great story.
I said, we can't take credit for that. And, you know, I can't in finance. That was thought of a long time ago.
That's right.
And so, Jim, what happened in our business, and this gets back to cash flow, is they wanted to share the numbers with their employees. So I said, let's develop little modules to train them on key numbers. And then let's share the numbers every week. Well, since we're a project-based business, we had to figure out a way to track our projects
right.
and understand
right.
our and as a consequence of tracking our projects on a weekly basis and figuring out where we stood financially in terms of profitability, we found that we could get very accurate cash flows out 30 to 60 days, even 90
days. You got really good at this, didn't you?
Yeah, and so every week, religiously on Friday, we create a 2 to 3 month cash flow projection.
Right.
And guess what? When I take those projections to our bankers, they're dumbfounded.
They look at you like you're a genius, don't they?
Yeah, a small business that's project-based, that knows their cash flow 2 to 3 months in advance on a weekly basis. And when we show that to them, it becomes much, much easier to get
right.
that credit line put together.
You know, I'm so glad to hear you say that, Joe. Folks, I hope you're listening to this. And I know you've heard me say this all these years, and I know I'm like your daddy. You know, you don't listen to your daddy, but you listen to somebody else. Listen to Joe if you won't listen to me. Joe, I learned how, back in the 80s, I learned how to make an electronic spreadsheet and build a cash flow statement there. And people would be amazed if you'll take a 12-month cash flow statement that's put together correctly and show that to your banker, just one document. And not only does it show how you're going to operate and how your cash is going to be, even if it shows certain months or quarters where you don't have enough cash, that's what you're at the bank for. But as long as it includes how you're going to pay him or her back, that's the only document you really need to take most of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing that's funny is when I present this to these bankers, they look at me as some kind of financial genius. And I look at the guys and say, guess what? I just got this information from my engineers because every week they have to update their project.
Right.
So we can track financially what's happening and present it to the company.
That's
so
just
that weekly data and consolidate it and make a cash flow statement.
That's like nectar to a banker, isn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And guess what? It's nectar to you when you're going to run a business. If you know where your cash flow is going to be and you have about a 2 or 3 month lead on it, you can solve a lot of problems. The place where the problems get more severe is when you need to make payroll on Friday and on Thursday you realize you don't have enough money in the account to take care of payroll.
Yeah.
That's when things get really ugly.
That's when you don't have a good phone call with your banker.
No, bankers don't listen at that point.
They don't like that.
So in this environment, nothing could be more important than this. It was important before this economy went the way it's going. But it's even more important now.
Yeah, and, absolutely. And hold on, Joe, hold on to that.
That is critical.
Hold on to that thought. That's, folks, I tell you what, Joe's got it on, he hit it right on the head. I hope you're making notes there, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Till. We're going to be right back with Joe Knight. He's the author of Financial Intelligence for Entrepreneurs, the co-author, along with Karen Berman. I need to make sure I say that. Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our friend Joe Knight. Joe is a manufacturer. He also has a training company. And Joe, I need you to give us your website and tell us how we can find you.
Well, our Business Literacy Institute website is business-literacy.com.
Business-literacy.com. They can find out more about your training. They can find your books there probably, too.
That's correct.
Okay.
We also have a little financial intelligence test that we've developed, and we have a sample of that test available at testmyfinancialiq.com. If anybody wants to take that little test, it'll give you a quick score, and you'll get a feel for your financial IQ, and we'll have a longer test coming soon.
All right, and is that free?
That's free, yes.
Test My Financial IQ. Folks, I encourage you to do that. Testmyfinancialiq.com. Thank you for making that available, Joe, for free.
Absolutely.
And you're going to continue to tell us more in the future about how you're developing this information, because I'll tell you, Joe, if you know when I used to be a consultant myself, I used to tell people, you know, if you want to be successful in a business, don't learn how to make a better hamburger first. Learn how to make sure you know what that hamburger cost you, and how you're going to make a profit off of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'll tell you something. We we keep this kind of under our hats in finance and accounting, but what we do in finance and accounting is we make several confusing terms for the same thing. For example, an income statement we call a P&L, profit and loss.
Right. Yeah, operating statement. Operations.
Yeah. And we earnings statement. And so a lot of people get confused by the jargon. The secret I'm going to tell everyone here is in finance and accounting, what we primarily do is we add and subtract numbers. And when we get sophisticated, we divide occasionally. The math is simple. The terminology gets confusing.
Right,
so,
right.
So get yourself comfortable with the terms, and once you get there, you'll be able to do all the math with a basic calculator.
I'll tell you something else. A CPA-created cash flow statement is the most difficult thing to understand in the world. But that's not the one you need. The one you need is a cash flow spreadsheet, which is completely intuitive and the easiest thing to understand.
Yeah, and that's how we do our 3-month projection. It's just an intake and exhaust statement. That's exactly right.
Yep.
What can I expect to collect in the next? What's my balance going into this period? What's the money I think I'll collect in the next 3 months? And what am I going to be spending? And if you have a good organized plan and a good business, and you know, have a good feel for your projected sales, that's not that hard to do.
One of the things, Joe, I love CPAs. I recommend them. I tell people if you're in business, you need to get a CPA to help you. But one of the things that I've always been disappointed in the profession about is they don't do enough to help their customers, their clients, learn how to manage cash going forward. CPAs don't like to deal with the future. They only like to deal with the past, don't they?
That's true. And I'll tell you something else. CPAs are not really business people. They're accountants. And you shouldn't take business advice from an attorney or a CPA.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Try to get business advice from people who have run a real business. Most CPAs are proprietors or small partnerships, and they really don't understand what it's like to run a business. And so sometimes you're at peril to take advice from a professional. You use them for what they're good at, and the CPA is great for taxes. They're great for historical information, like you say, and getting things pretty for the
audits and financial statements. I mean, you got to have them for your financial statements. We love them, but in terms of going forward with your cash flow, especially, I've asked them, why don't you help more people with their projections, with projecting their you know, where they're going in the future? And they say, well, you know, that we can't audit that.
Right, and we don't want to take responsibility for that.
That's right, and you really can't blame them. But the point I'm making here, folks, and Joe's making, is you've got to be responsible for your own projections, for your own future, and it's the only way you can have a good relationship with your bank, right, Joe?
Yeah, and the best help in some of these areas is to find a seasoned, experienced entrepreneur that can mentor you and give you advice. You'll probably find better financial advice on forecasting and projecting from someone like that than you will from a CPA.
You know a good place to go for that is, and it's right there in your area, folks, somewhere near you. Small business development centers have people who can help you with that.
Sure.
They do a good job too. Hey, Joe, give us that website again, please. Both of those.
The website for our training business is business-literacy.com.
And the test?
The assessment is at testmyfinancialiq.com.
And it's just 7 questions, right?
Yeah, 7 or 8 questions.
Yeah.
And it's simple, basic financial questions, and it'll give you a score after you've taken it. Put in your email, and it'll email out a score to you. And it'll give you some idea of where you stand in terms of your financial.
And what you need to work on. Hey, Joe, thanks for being here. Come back another day.
Absolutely.
Joe Knight, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.